From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. With just 20 days to go until this year's presidential election, questions are swirling about the candidate's health. Over the weekend, the White House released the medical records for Vice President Kamala Harris, with her physicians describing her health as excellent. In the meantime, former President Donald Trump has not released his medical records, in spite of promising numerous times that he would. However, how important or newsworthy are these medical reports, and what information can we actually gather from them? Joining us today to talk more about that is Dr. David Pate. He is the former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and co-author of the book Preparing for the Next Global Outbreak. Hi, Dr. Pate.
Hi, Gemma.
And folks, remember, if you have a public health question for Dr. Pate, send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Okay, Dr. Pate, I wanted to start with a simple question. I mean, when does this really become an issue in regards to medical records and releasing medical records for people running for president?
Well, you know, it's a great question because I haven't found a whole lot of surveys on this issue about how much would this really play into voters' decisions. But from what I can find, slightly less than half of Americans typically on these surveys say, yes, they would like to consider the health information. But then when you ask them, how much would that actually affect the decision of who to vote for? It seems to be a lot less. Now, in recent elections where these elections, and like the current one, are so neck and neck, perhaps it doesn't take that many people to be swayed to change an election. But previously, it's not clear that presidential health or presidential candidate health has been a huge influence in how people vote. I think it has particularly become a greater issue in the last few elections because we have had people repeatedly setting the record for who would be the oldest president if elected into office.
So I was just going to ask you that, Dr. Pate. Is this the reason why? I mean, before Joe Biden, President Biden, stepped out of the race, he was the oldest person to hold office. And now, former President Donald Trump is the oldest person to ever run for the office. So how much, I guess, then, does age of the candidate play into why this becomes an issue?
Well, it's a fascinating question. So, you know, it's interesting that I tried to figure out how far back does this go that there was really the public disclosure of health information and debate and interest about this. The earliest I can find is that after leaving office, Ronald Reagan was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, and President Jimmy Carter pushed for laws that didn't get enacted, but pushed for laws to make more disclosure about presidential candidate and presidential health. But, you know, presidents have been hiding stuff for more than 100 years. I was appalled to find out that back in 1893, President Grover Cleveland had cancer of the mouth, most likely from smoking and perhaps alcohol. But anyway, he tried to hide his cancer. So he went on a friend's yacht and he was out there for, I think, 4 days and had the surgery performed on the yacht so that no one would find out about it. And it just gives me horrors thinking, because I know what our surgical practices were back in 1893, and to think of doing that on a boat. But he had part of his jaw removed and five teeth removed back then to try to hide it. And of course, I think one that most of us older folks remember from history is FDR. FDR ran for 4 presidential terms before the change was made that you could not hold that many terms. And as he was running for his 4th term, he had his doctor issue a statement that he was in great health when actually he'd been diagnosed with heart failure the year before, which at that time, back in 1944, was basically a death sentence of dying within a year. And in fact, he got elected to office and died shortly thereafter. So it is an issue, I think, but I just don't know how much it's affecting voters.
Mm-hmm. And do we even get useful information from these reports nowadays?
Well, that's a great question. Sometimes we do. So, for example, but it depends on the candidate. So, for example, mm-hmm. if you think back to when John McCain was running for office, the concern for him, of course, he was older. He was 72. And what was of concern is that he had a history of skin cancer. So what he did is he actually allowed reporters to peruse more than 1,200 pages of actual medical records for several hours in a designated area. So that's pretty transparent. Unfortunately, what we tend to get more recently is just a letter from a doctor saying, oh, this person's in excellent or exceptional health or whatever. And we really oftentimes don't get much data to support that. And I think most recently, what people have been concerned about and what has become a new area of discussion is, given that candidates have been much older, of course, Biden, when he was running, was 81. At the beginning of the year, and then Trump 78. And there's been questions about both of their cognitive capacity and mental capacity. And that can be assessed in very simplistic but not very meaningful ways, or it can be assessed in very detailed ways. But we never get any of those details. And so sometimes we think we're getting good information. Other times it's clear we're not. I think back to when President Trump got COVID and was admitted to Walter Reed Hospital, and we heard the president's physician giving updates. And for those of us that are medically trained, we could tell that the information we were getting was not internally consistent. In other words, they were giving us assurances, but then telling us aspects or bits and pieces of the medical treatment that told us, no, he's got to be much sicker if they're getting this. And then, of course, the next year, New York Times ran an article saying, in fact, that President Trump had been on the verge of a decision having to be made about whether to put him on the ventilator. And it mm-hmm. totally was not disclosed to us. So it's not always meaningful.
So with that said, Dr. Pate, one thing that I found interesting about Vice President Harris releasing her medical records over the weekend is that on Monday, more than 200 healthcare professionals across the country signed an open letter calling on former President Trump to release his medical records. Now, he said in an interview back in August on CBS News that he would release his medical records to the public. He has yet to do that. He says he's not suffering from any medical conditions. There is an argument that can be made about cognitive ability. If we are going to compare President Biden to former President Trump, is it fair to be asking for these medical records when we are looking at elderly men who are president currently, want to be president, and who could potentially be in cognitive decline? And I don't mean any disrespect by that. It is just something that happens to many, many people as they age.
Well, that's absolutely true. And of course, we have also discovered it's worse after COVID. And of course, both President Biden and President Trump were infected, and President Trump quite seriously. And those are people that are at higher risk for this. So I think that from a physician's point of view, as I look at this, what do I want to know? I want to know that if a candidate for office is going to be running for president, and that's a 4-year term, can we expect them to maintain a good state of health and maintain cognitive function for that 4 years, if we're going to trust them with the nuclear codes and all the responsibilities. And frankly, the pace of being president is a tough job and demanding. So we want to know somebody can do that. In the case of Vice President Harris, you know, frankly, I'm not interested that she has seasonal allergies. So does almost everybody listening to this call or this radio show. And so I don't know how helpful that is. I think that it what would be really helpful is if there was a panel of independent physicians that are of both party affiliations that could review relevant records and tell us, one, is there any medical condition that could, in reasonable probability, be an issue for the performance of the president's duties during the next 4 years? And number two, does that candidate, especially now that we're repeatedly electing fairly elderly people, do they have any evidence of mental decline, dementia, any other problems that we could expect to be a problem over the 4 years? That's what would be helpful, I think. And we just don't get that.
I want to switch gears now, Dr. Pate, because I want to talk about a new study that was recently released. And this is in regards to the first wave of COVID-19 infections. Now, this study found that, and this was before vaccination, so these are people who were getting infected in that first wave. This study has found that there is now a higher risk of stroke and heart attack in these folks. Can you talk a little bit more about this study? Because, I mean, Dr. Pate, this is, you have been saying for more than 4 years now, we will continue to learn about this. We don't know the long-term impacts. And yes, it's been 4.5 years, but we're starting to learn a bit more.
Exactly. So what the problem is with this virus is while many people think of it as a cold and other people think of this as a lung infection, it really is a virus that gets into or has the ability to get into many parts of our body and many organ systems. And what we have noted, in fact, we started seeing the signals suggesting that there were increased cardiovascular risks of all kinds, not just heart attacks, but strokes, atrial fibrillation, various problems. We started seeing, I think it, if my memory serves me, it was back in 22, we started seeing those signals. This study confirms it and shows that that risk actually persists now that many of these people have been followed for 3 years or a little bit longer since their early infections. The vaccines came out in the very first part of 2021. So these were largely people infected in 2020 and early 2021. So now we're three, almost approaching 4 years out. And what they found was that even if you just got mild, so-called mild COVID, that your risk for heart attack or stroke was doubled. And if you got severe disease, and remember, severe disease means that you got to go in the hospital, you might need oxygen, those kind of things, it was quadrupled, the risk. And what seems to be the underlying problem here is that this virus can inflame the blood vessels, and particularly tiny blood vessels, a condition we call endotheliitis. And we believe that that is in part, we think there's other factors, but that is in part the basis for why people can be at increased risk for many problems, including heart attacks and strokes.
Well, and what I found interesting too, Dr. Pate, in this study was that they say in it that, look, if you had a severe COVID-19 infection, especially if you required a hospital stay, you need to talk to your doctor about your increased risk of heart attack, of stroke, of these cardiovascular conditions. And we are just learning more and more about this.
Every day, we're learning more things. I'm reading articles every day, and I'm learning something new. There was also a new study that just came out showing that teens that get COVID have an increased risk for diabetes. And you and I have talked previously about the fact that we knew there was a risk for diabetes, but now they're showing that even in teens, 10 to 18, where they looked at these kids and found an increased risk for developing type 2 diabetes. We've also, you know, just consistent with what we were talking about previously, seen that if you already have a predisposition to dementia, getting COVID accelerates that. And so we're seeing more cases in that area as well. And we're just learning more and more things all the time, which gets back to what my repeated advice for our listeners is number one, you do have to live your life, but do take reasonable precautions. Whatever is reasonable for you, take precautions, because the more you get infected, the higher the risk for any number of these things. And so just try to use sensible protections to reduce the chances that you're going to get infected. And number two is that there is evidence that the vaccines are protective, not completely preventive, mm-hmm. but they are protective. They'll reduce the chances. So do get those updates of your boosters. We find a troubling large percentage of the population who initially got vaccinated, might have gotten earlier boosters, stopped getting them, thinking they don't need them. I've recently had a number of people tell me, wait, do we still need to get these? And I'm like, holy smokes. Yes. So if you have not gotten your updated booster, the new shot, it's not really a booster, mm-hmm. it's a new vaccine, the updated shot, and you haven't gotten it yet, you need to get it.
And then, Dr. Pate, real quick, with just the time we have left, it's middle of October. There's a big push for flu shots. Where are we in terms of needing our flu shot yet?
Not yet. Still pretty low activity. We're just starting to see it, just a smattering of a few cases, but very low activity. I don't think it's going to be for weeks yet that you should get it. And the reason that we do that, now look, if somebody told me, look, I'll get a flu shot because I'm going to go see the doctor next week, but if I don't get it, then I'm not going to get it, then I'd say, go ahead and get it then, because we want you to get vaccinated. But if you're willing to kind of time this, then it's best if we wait till we start seeing the cases rise, because the effectiveness of the vaccine wears off over time, and we want to protect you through the whole season.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's type.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.